Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Dueling Club. We're sorry we've been away so long. This is Jen.
Mamel.
And we've been away because we haven't been able to get our recording schedule down.
I don't know. Things happen.
Mm-hmm. Work and whatnot. Hey, why don't we tell them what things have happened? But before we do that, social media! We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, the Dueling Club Podcast. We're on Instagram. We may or may not eventually be on Twitter as well. We're on Podbean. But you can listen to us on any podcasting site, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, Google Play, whatever. Please like, follow, subscribe. Like, follow, subscribe. Thank you. We love you.
That's a thing.
Yes. So, Al, what's been going on with you?
Work and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might work at the place that you work at.
Yay!
I don't know. They haven't called me back yet.
You interviewed on Thursday, and yesterday was Friday.
Yeah.
Remember that the bigger companies always take a little bit longer to get back to you.
Yeah, I guess.
And they are a multi-billion dollar company.
That's true.
So it happens.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, let's see what's been happening with me. My car died on Monday. Mm-hmm. The car I had for almost 13 years. And I'm very sad. But my car situation has been somewhat resolved. I'm actually picking one up later today. Let's see. So, money that I didn't have earmarked for this then had to go to this. So I'm a little sad about that too. But I have a wonderful boyfriend who has been super supportive and super kind to me and just making sure that I'm in a good place mentally. So it hasn't been too terrible, although being without a car in an area where you need a car kind of sucks.
I mean, not having the ability to go anywhere.
At any time.
Yeah, when you choose.
Yes. Like, I wanted to go grocery shopping on Thursday. I couldn't. Why couldn't I? Because I didn't have a car.
Yep.
And I'm one of those people who doesn't like to do the whole buying it online and having them deliver it to me. Because I like to pick my own produce. I like to pick the boxes of whatever. I like to do that because then I know that I've picked what I want. Somebody isn't going to pick, you know, the box in the back because it hasn't been dented or whatever. They're just going to pick whatever's first.
That's true.
So, I'm not knocking anyone who does use those services. I just, right now, don't want to. Anyway, so, this is season 3, episode 3, of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting to say that this chapter thoroughly frustrates me.
Yeah.
Not because it's poorly written, because it's very well written.
It's too well written.
Exactly.
We meet,
someone you love to hate.
I hate her so much. She's such a mean person.
But we'll get
I mean,
there.
talking about it is, you know, mm-hmm. not as important as actually seeing what it's about. So let's go.
But we get to meet your favorite character. Or at least be introduced to him.
That's the spoiler.
We've already said it in previous podcasts.
Yeah, fine.
Oh, guys. There is a curse in this.
Prepare your innocent ears and souls.
And we will not be bleeping it out because it is as written in the book.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're warning you ahead of time. Okay, go ahead.
Harry wakes up in the morning to find his three least favorite people already in the kitchen watching the new kitchen TV. You know, Dudley had complained that it was...
I actually have it written in here.
I know. Enough upon returning from school that they bought him a set for the kitchen so he wouldn't miss anything during the extremely long trek from the kitchen all the way to the living room in the next room.
Yeah. It's literally the next room. Maybe 20 steps total. But you know Dudley, he has his parents wrapped around his finger and they will do anything he wants.
Yes. Apparently he's reached apex Dudliness. Five chins and all.
Uh-huh. And his body hangs over the chairs. I understand that she's doing it for a visual, but that makes me feel really bad for him. Because his parents give him everything he wants, right? So why does he need to eat that much?
I feel like...
it's emotional eating.
I think it's like... I don't know, gluttony I don't know. It's a very interesting, phenomenon. I don't know.
To me, it's a prime example of emotional eating. So a lot of people emotional eat when they're missing something. It soothes something in them. It's a self-soothing mechanism. He is missing decent parents. Let's be real. His parents suck. They give him everything he wants, but children don't need to be overindulged. Sometimes they need structure and boundaries, and he's never experienced that. So what does he do? He eats to help ease some internal pain.
Yeah.
And it must be a big pain because now he's so big.
Yes.
Yes.
So Harry grabs some toast for breakfast and sits down, which is completely unnoticed.
It seems to go unnoticed.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, he's that unpleasant thing that lives in the house.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which I think he's the most pleasant thing that lives in that unpleasant house.
Very true. As it's like partway through the news and the family's watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
And... I love how you have him as the Muggle Prime Minister. Not just the Prime Minister.
Hey, I'm not a Muggle.
Well, the thing is that... He's a...
This is from Harry's perspective.
No, I know, but Cornelius Fudge is the Minister of Magic, so there is no other Prime Minister. It's just like, one is a Prime Minister, one's a Minister. I mean, it's like they hold the same position in their respective...
No, one of them's a Muggle Prime Minister.
Okay. Okay. what you call it? Warning about an escaped convict. Sirius Black.
Yeah, you can read it from the book right there.
Yes. The public is warned that Black is armed and extremely dangerous. A special hotline has been set up and any sighting of Black should be reported immediately. No need to tell us he's no good, snorted Uncle Vernon, staring over the top of his newspaper at the prisoner. Look at the state of him, the filthy layabout. Look at his hair. Which is literally him going, wow, his hair is so bad, side-eye to Harry.
He does side-eye to Harry. So you know what? Vernon has to take every opportunity to bring up the fact that Harry is inadequate or weird or a combination of the two. And of course, he seizes this as his perfect opportunity since he's always had an issue with Harry's shabby hair. Let's not forget the numerous haircuts that we were told about in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone, where they would chop off all his hair and it would mysteriously regrow overnight.
Someone did art of, like, Harry bald with just bangs.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
And it hurt me so bad.
Yeah, but at least he only had to deal with that for a few hours because then he went to sleep and woke up with all his glorious messy hair.
That's like such crazy emotional trauma.
Well, you know how I feel about them.
Yes.
I feel that they not only emotionally abuse him, but I feel like they physically abuse him as well. So to me, that's just par for the course with the Dursleys, even though it's terrible. Mm-hmm. The reporter then transitions to his report on the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries announcement that blah, 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 without stating anything about which prison Black escaped from or which asylum he escaped
and
from.
And what his crime was. Besides exactly. That, did they mention nope. That he was a murderer? No.
That he was just armed and extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And Uncle Vernon, and this is much to Uncle Vernon's dismay and fury, he says, the lunatic could be coming up the street right now. To which, in pure Petunia fashion, because she's nosy as hell, mm-hmm. She cranes her head to peer out the kitchen window in hopes of using her nosiness to her advantage. Because how
she would
awesome.
Love to be the person to catch Sirius Black.
Yes. This armed and extremely dangerous escaped prisoner.
Yep.
Because, you know, what is she going to do? Talk him to death? Anyway, Vernon continues in his anger, stating that hanging's the only way to deal with these people. Okay.
I mean...
That escalated quickly.
I don't know. I feel like he's just like, this person is not good. Kill them!
But what does... Exactly. Who does he mean by these people? Are we talking about just dangerous criminals? Are we talking about people in asylums? Are we talking about dangerous criminals or people in asylums who escape? Are we talking about people who he doesn't like or approve of? Like, do you see where this could be problematic?
Yeah, it's like, why is he such a violent person?
I don't know, but it's really starting to irritate me.
He's just like... Wait, I don't know if she's actually said the word, like, I'll throttle you within an inch of your life yet, or something like that.
I think
But that's something he says.
Yes.
And now he wants people to die.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Yeah, I don't, you know, he might have anger issues.
you think? Is it
know.
Possible?
I kind of picked up on it.
Okay. So, Vernon then excuses himself from the table and says that he is coming in at 10.
Wait, isn't there a moment in right now where Harry thinks that they might have remembered his birthday?
No, that was the last book. Okay. That was the last book.
I thought it also happened in this one.
So, no. So, he's like, wait. Aunt Marge is coming, and I have to tell you that I actually put the aunt part in quotes in there, and I mentioned that I put things in quotes because she's not related to him. Yeah. She's Uncle Vernon. She's Vernon's sister.
Well, there's no
so
blood.
There's no blood relation. So the fact that they force him to call her this, because it says in the book that they force him to call her this, irritates me even more because of the long list of things that she's done to him that we read about, which doesn't include the things we don't know about.
The funny thing is like, in mentioning that, it's like, sort of, I don't know, traditionally I feel like children are forced to call their non-blood related relatives by their respective title, but I feel like in this situation, forcing a child to do it, especially with the laundry list of, like, cruel things she's done to him.
It's another form of abuse. Emotional abuse.
And makes him associate cruelty with family.
Well, he already does that.
No, but even more so.
Yes. So, you know, I'm going to put a little bit of personal stuff out there. We have an uncle who is married to somebody who is not very nice to us. And we've always been taught to call our relatives Uncle So-and-so, Aunt So-and-so. Even people who are just close family friends, that's what we do. Even as a child, because I'm not a child anymore, but even as a child...
Thank you.
I was very clear on who treated me well and who didn't. And for my entire life, I have not been able to call that uncle and his wife... my uncle and aunt, it just nominase. It doesn't come from within for me to do it.
Yep.
And I will call him my uncle when he's by himself, because then he's nicer to me. But when his wife is around, I just can't do it. It doesn't come out.
Yeah.
And if my parents had said, you have to call this person your aunt or your aunt, depending on where you're from, I would feel traumatized by that.
Well, I hope our cousin doesn't listen to the podcast. Okay.
I don't think he does.
Probably doesn't, but what if he does?
Ooh, one of our other cousins does.
Which one?
I will tell you later.
I didn't see what your mouth... Oh. Okay, yeah, well, she's gonna get that reference.
Yeah, but then I'll have some explaining to do with her. Whatever, it's fine.
Okay, love you, cousin. Okay.
If you're listening, I don't even know if she listens. Although she did tell me that she was gonna listen. So it is possible that she is
listening. How far does that go? We'll see.
I don't know. I'll message find out if I get a text message.
Message me on Facebook if you listen. How about that one? Okay. Anyway. So some examples of how she's a terrible person.
Yes.
At Dudley's 5th birthday, she whacked Harry with a walking stick to stop him from beating Dudley at musical chairs.
Musical statues.
Statues, which I'm assuming is like musical chairs. You have to stop.
Yeah, when the music stops. Wrote that in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few years later at Christmas, she got Dudley a robot and Harry a box of dog biscuits.
Yes. So I'm thinking musical statues. Could you imagine if it's like you're dancing? And then you have to stop dancing when the music stops. So could you imagine kids doing it now? They're like twerking statues and then they stop mid-twerk.
Mid-bounce.
That's what I think.
But back then, for her,
well, it was the 90s, so maybe people were voguing.
Yeah. What's up?
Perfect face frame.
Love it.
I'm sorry, I had to. So repeat the thing about the Christmas.
A few years later at Christmas, she got Dudley a robot and Harry a box of dog biscuits. I mean, that's really helpful for him not having a dog.
Yeah.
And her last visit resulted in him accidentally having stepped on the tail of Ripper, her favorite dog, which is kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, and I would feel bad having done that. But then... Yeah.
Who then proceeded to chase him into the garden and up a tree that he stayed in well past midnight because Marge refused to call him off the attack.
Isn't that awesome?
And she's coming for... Is it 2 weeks? Or is it a week?
A week. So, I wouldn't want her there either.
I wouldn't want her there for an hour.
Or any of her dogs. And on the side note, I've heard of crazy cat ladies. I've been accused of being a crazy cat lady because I have two cats. But I had never heard of a crazy dog lady. Until this series.
I mean...
But I mean, the Queen of England, she's with all her corgis. I think the last of her corgis died recently, though. Sorry, that must have been really sad.
Yes.
But she had a good bunch of them. Anyway.
We got this very lovely exchange between uncle and nephew. Mm-hmm. Firstly, growled Uncle Vernon, you'll keep a civil tongue in your head when you're talking to Marge. All right, said Harry bitterly. If she does when she's talking to me. Secondly, said Uncle Vernon, acting as though he had not heard Harry's reply, as Marge doesn't know anything about your abnormality, I don't want any funny stuff while she's here. You behave yourself, got me? I will if she does, said Harry through gritted teeth. And thirdly, said Uncle Vernon, his mean little eyes now slits in his great purple face, we've told Marge you attend St. Brutus' Secure Center incurably criminal boys.
That was me putting it in there.
I know. What? Harry yelled. And you'll be sticking to that story, boy, or there'll be trouble, spat Uncle Vernon.
That's awesome. So, this is terrible. This has to be, and I think I wrote it later on, this has got to be arguably the worst birthday present he's ever received. So now not only does he have to deal with the Dursleys, who physically and mentally abuse him at every turn they can, because let's be real, ignoring someone is also a form of mental abuse. If they live in your household and you pretend that they don't exist,
yeah,
kind of a problem.
True.
Now he has to deal with Aunt Marge and this new list of requirements. So, you know, it's then that he has this brilliant idea. He's basically going to use Marge's lack of knowledge of his magical abnormality to convince Uncle Vernon to sign the Hogsmeade permission slip that he was worried about in the previous chapter. So he's going to get Uncle Vernon to sign it, and Uncle Vernon agrees as long as Harry behaves normally while she's there.
And sticks to the story.
Yes. And I think it's brilliant the way he says, well, you know, what if I accidentally let something slip? And Uncle Vernon says, well, you'll get the stuffing knocked out of you, won't you? And he's like, well, you can knock the stuffing out of me as much as you want, but that won't stop Aunt Marge from having heard what she heard.
Yep.
And then that's when furious Uncle Vernon's like, fine, we'll see. So Uncle Vernon leaves, and while he's at the train station, Harry sends Hedwig and Errol, who is finally rested up enough that he can actually fly away, poor Errol, back to the Weasleys, and he tells Hedwig, hey Hedwig, go with Errol, stay there for the week. And Hedwig gets upset, visibly upset, and he's like, don't do that, you know, I have to get this permission slip signed. I love you, come on, be a bro, even though you're a girl, be a bro. So he writes a little note to let Ron know what's happening, attaches it to Errol's leg, they fly off. He takes all of his magical stuff, puts it under the loose floorboard in his room. He puts Hedwig's cage in the wardrobe, and he goes downstairs to deal with everything. Okay. So when he gets there, it's like clockwork that they get back, and Marge has brought her favorite bulldog, our wonderful, wonderful Ripper. You know, the one who chased him up into the tree?
Yeah.
And she's described as looking just like Vernon. Large, beefy, and purple-faced. And here's the only difference. She does have a mustache as well, but it's not quite as bushy.
I like, I like how she looks in the movie.
Yes. Well, she was the same one who played Mrs. Treacle-Bottom, or whatever her name was. Treacle-Bock from Matilda.
Yeah, I was like, the name is vastly
incorrect. No, I know. I don't remember. Hey, I'm using memory for this one. So, Treacle something or another?
We're both looking for it now.
Yes, we are.
Trunchbull.
Oh, that name fits perfectly.
Yep.
So, the only thing that was missing was her little bit of a mustache.
Okay with that.
So here's the thing. Human beings are mammals. Mammals have body hair. So we're not trying to shame anyone for having body hair.
No.
If you're a woman who has a mustache, braid it, beat it, set it, whatever you want to do. It's not a big deal. We're just saying this as a description for, and if you know that reference, the Braid It, Beat It, Set It, I love you forever. Just send us a message or a comment, and I will shout you out in the next podcast.
Yes.
That we record, because we're going to try to record two today, but it would be the next one after that.
Yes.
But it's a description. And for me, it helps because if Harry already dislikes Vernon to the point of hating him, and there is a female version, a female replica of this person, I can totally see him hating this person naturally anyway.
Yeah.
So I just had to throw it out there. Because I think it's important to give you guys a visual in case you're also reading along right now, or in case you forgot that that was the way she was described.
Very, very horribly, basically.
Yes. Anyway, She proceeds to set the tone of her visit almost immediately. So she greets everyone. She's like, "Oh, Petunia dear. Oh, my daddy kids. Oh, my daughters." Whatever. She greets everyone first with love and sometimes money because, you know, she hands a 20 to Dudley. She has these lovely, amazing words to say to and about Harry. I'm going to read this one. "So," she barked, "still here, are you?" "Yes," said Harry. "Don't you say yes in that ungrateful tone," Aunt Marge growled. "It's damn good of Vernon and Petunia to keep you. Wouldn't have done it myself. You'd have gone straight to an orphanage if you'd been dumped on my doorstep." Harry was bursting to say that he'd rather live in an orphanage than with the Dursleys, but the thought of the Hogsmeade form stopped him. He forced his face into a painful smile. "Don't you smirk at me," boomed Aunt Marge. "I can see you haven't improved since I last saw you. I hoped school would knock some manners into you." She took a large gulp of tea, wiped her mustache, and said, "Where is it that you send him again, Vernon?" "St. Brutus's," said Uncle Vernon promptly. "It's a first-rate institution for hopeless causes."
Cases.
St.
Your reading skills?
They're on point today.
Much to be desired
today. Oh, you shush. "I see," said Aunt Marge. "Do they use a cane at St. Brutus's, boy?" She barked across the table. Uncle Vernon nodded curtly behind Aunt Marge's back. "Yes," said Harry. Then feeling he might as well do the thing properly, he added, "all the time." "Excellent," said Aunt Marge. "I won't have this namby-pamby, wishy-washy nonsense about not hitting people who deserve it. A good thrashing is what's needed in 99 cases out of 100. Have you been beaten often?" "Oh, yeah," said Harry, "loads of times." Aunt Marge narrowed her eyes. "I still don't like your tone, boy," she said. "If you speak of your beatings in that casual way, they clearly aren't hitting you hard enough. Petunia, I'd write if I were you. Make it clear that you approve the use of extreme force in this boy's case." Damn.
What? She's such a mean person.
So, first of all, he says yes, and she takes it as an insult.
"Not hard enough, you piece of poop."
Yeah, she takes his saying, "Yes, I'm still here," his yes, as an insult. "Yes, I'm being beaten at this imaginary school. Not hard enough. And it's flippin', and I won't take any of this namby-pamby, wishy-washy, not beating people when they deserve it." What did he do to deserve it? Exist?
In their interactions, the worst thing he's ever done to her is step on her dog's tail, which I'm sure wasn't on purpose.
He was 11.
No, he was...
Oh, he's
a couple
13
years later. Couple years later, so we'll say he was 9.
No, because it said last Christmas.
I don't think it said last Christmas. I think it said a few years later during Christmas. We're grabbing chips, but I'm sorry.
A few years later at Christmas.
The first
no, no, it was when they got 5. The biscuit at her last visit. Well, so yeah, we don't know when her last visit was.
We'll just say when he was 10 then. When he was 10.
Yeah, because she doesn't know about the school. So when he was 10.
Yeah.
The Christmas before he turned 11. Because Harry, you're a wizard. So that was when he accidentally stepped on Ripper's tail. And it's like, so that's the worst thing he's done, and you're going to treat him like poop? That's great. I like it.
And then I think, the worst thing is what's coming up soon. No, it's not, it's in two, the second part is when it's very bad, but this part is also really bad,
I know, I had to put the quotes in there, and I know we're reading a lot of the chapter, so please don't take this down for copyright issues. But it needs to be...
I don't think they can. We're not streaming the audiobook or anything.
This is true. But it's literally, it's so bad that I don't want to paraphrase it because I need you guys to hear how bad it is. Okay. So, although her visits disrupt the tense avoidance pattern and yes, I wrote it that way because that's what it is, that the Dursleys usually have with Harry now. Because, you know, they avoid him like the plague, and if he's around, they pretend like he's not there.
But she would rather keep him around to just verbally abuse him at every turn.
Yeah. And now to verbally abuse his family, meaning Lily and James Potter.
Yep.
And I don't know, does she do it because she thinks he's old enough now to hear what she really thinks? To understand
what she's saying, so, like, to get it.
Yeah.
So now she's like, we're not pulling punches. Because why? Why? Why doesn't she talk about what she had for dinner last week, or a trip she had recently, or how the dogs are coming along or something?
Well, she did, because they talk about it for a second. Mr. Fubster, or Colonel Fubster, is taking care of her other dogs, which is why she's there with Ripper.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep it, why does it always have to go back to Harry and insults towards him? Is her life that pathetic that she, when she goes to visit family, she goes to insult someone?
Yes.
That's the point of her visit?
Yes.
Is to get away from her dogs and talk ill of this child who literally doesn't have parents?
Some people get joy out of putting other people down.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that they're siblings.
Exactly. So, they go without major incidents for 3 days.
Well,
or for 2 days.
Major incidents, but she's still destroying
She's still herself, him. Yeah. On day 3, she makes a comment that makes it very hard for Harry to keep his end of the bargain.
Again, there's a curse. And it's very mean. Curses aren't the worst thing. It's all, sometimes for me it's about context, and this context is awful.
Continue. So we're saying it now. We're not going to bleep it because it's actually part of the book. Who's going to read this? Because I read the last one.
Oh, I don't want... Okay, I'll do it.
Do you...
It hurts me. It's so
how
mean.
About instead of saying the word, we just say the B?
No.
Okay. All right.
You mustn't blame yourself for the way the boys turned out, Vernon, she said over lunch on the third day. If there's something rotten on the inside, there's nothing anyone can do about it. Harry tried to concentrate on his food, but his hands shook and his face was starting to burn with anger. Remember the form, he told himself. Think about Hogsmeade. Don't say anything. Don't rise. Aunt Marge reached for her glass of wine. It's one of the basic rules of breeding, she said. You see it all the time with dogs. If there's something wrong with the bitch, there'll be something wrong with the pup. At that moment, the wine glass Aunt Marge was holding exploded in her hand. Shards of glass flew in every direction. Aunt Marge sputtered and blinked, her great ruddy face dripping. Marge, squealed Aunt Petunia. Marge! Are you all right? Not to worry, grunted Aunt Marge, mopping her face with her napkin. Must have squeezed it too hard. Did the same thing at Colonel Fubster's the other day. No need to fuss, Petunia. I have a very firm grip. But Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon were both looking at Harry suspiciously, so he decided he'd better skip dessert and escape from the table as soon as he could.
Oh, that was terrible. I'm sorry. I couldn't... I was like, oh, before you did it, I'm sorry.
I tried to put like a little oomph in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate it.
I'm sorry. Have some of your iced latte.
I do it.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong. I have a very loose tongue sometimes. My vocabulary is very colorful.
Yes, I had to bleep out 2 curses the other day.
You had one too.
Yes, but I only had one.
Fine. It's because it, you know.
Yes. No, I understand.
But like, part-time I'm a sailor. But like, it's...
No, your mouth would put sailors to shame.
True. But it's very, like, it's always in good fun. I'm never, like, cursing just to be rude and offensive.
There have been a couple times.
You know, everyone has those moments, but usually it's because I find them most applicable in the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, the F word is very versatile, and I like it.
Conjugating that word is a skill.
I'm telling you. So, but the context of this is so mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's so mean. Because I think in the following one, I'm getting ahead of myself. She's like, oh yeah, we had him drown a pup because he was a runt and awful and this and that. And it's just like, you're literally saying that Harry should have been drowned as a baby. What is wrong with you? I'm sorry. Let's go.
Yeah. So Harry actually takes that moment to leave, and he's standing in the hallway reminding himself, you have to be careful. Remember what happened last year with Dobby and the hover charm. We got the letter saying I couldn't use magic outside of Hogwarts without facing dire consequences from the Ministry of Magic, which could include expulsion from Hogwarts and even imprisonment in the wizarding jail that we know is named Azkaban. So he's like, okay, dude, chill. Let's get through this. There's only 4 more days.
So with the patience, with the patience of a saint, they get to the 6th night. Mm-hmm. And
hopefully the last.
Hopefully. I mean, well, we know.
Well, I mean, we know what happens. When she talks crap about it's his family again. Well, this time it's dinner. Last time
was it lunch?
Yes.
Okay.
Harry understandably loses his temper. But when wizards lose their temper, things happen.
He loses his temper twice. He loses his temper, loses his temper.
Yes. Well, because I needed it to be understood. And I wrote this at 6 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
And I'll read this one. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to blood, as I was saying the other day. Bad blood will out. Now, I'm saying nothing against your family, Petunia. She patted on Petunia's bony hand with her shove-like one.
Shovel.
Shovel. No.
Yeah.
Shovel-like. Yes. There was an extra L. But your sister was a bad egg. They turn up in the best families. Then she ran off with a wastrel?
Wastrel.
Wastrel. And here's the result right in front of us. How rude. Harry was staring at his plate, a funny ringing in his ear. Grasp your broom firmly by the tail, he thought, but he couldn't remember what came next. And remember, this is him thinking about the handbook for broom maintenance that Hermione got him from his kit.
For his birthday.
Aunt Marge's voice seemed to be boring into him like one of Uncle Vernon's drills. This Potter, said Aunt Marge loudly, seizing the brandy bottle and splashing more into her glass and over the tablecloth. You never told me what he did. Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia were looking extremely tense. Dudley had even looked up from his pie to gape at his parents. He didn't work, said Uncle Vernon, with a half glance at Harry. Unemployed. As I expected, said Aunt Marge, taking a huge swig of brandy and wiping her chin on her sleeve. A no account, good for nothing, lazy scrounger who... He was not, said Harry suddenly. The table went very quiet. Harry was shaking all over. He had never felt so angry in his life. More brandy? Yelled Uncle Vernon, who had gone very white. He emptied the bottle into Aunt Marge's glass. You, boy, he snarled at Harry. Go to bed. Go on. No, Vernon, hiccuped Aunt Marge, holding up a hand, her tiny bloodshot eyes fixed on Harry's. Go on, boy, go on. Proud of your parents, are you? They go and get themselves killed in a car accident. Drunk, I expect. They didn't die in a car crash, said Harry, who found himself on his feet. They died in a car crash, you nasty little liar, and left you to be a burden on their decent, hard-working relatives, screamed Aunt Marge, swelling with fury. You are an insolent, ungrateful little...
Pause for a second. This is what she said about that I mentioned.
Yes.
She was saying about how Dudley's a decent, you'll be a proper-sized man, Dudley.
I couldn't include that.
Like your father. And then she looked at Harry. She jerked her head at Harry and said, this one's got a mean, runty look about him. Mm-hmm. You get that with dogs. I had Colonel Fubster drown one last year. Ratty little thing it was. Weak, underbred.
So that's how it started.
Yeah, that's how this whole lovely dinner started.
Anyway.
But yes, so, her swelling with fury did not stop there.
No, it didn't. We find out that Harry accidentally inflated her
Yep.
Aunt Marge gets inflated into a monstrous balloon with fingers that look like salamis.
Delicious.
I got hungry reading that. I was like, I want breakfast.
You're like, let's take her finger off. Like, effort, you know? I didn't say it. I said bug with a G. I get a pass on that one.
I was very close.
So, thank God I don't enunciate properly sometimes.
I know, thank goodness. So Vernon tried to pull her down, but he almost gets lifted up as well. And she drifts off into the air with Uncle Vernon yelling after her and Ripper barking. I love this visual because I think about the movie.
Yep.
And the movie did it so well.
Comparison.
I know, but it did. And Harry takes that moment to dash upstairs, grab all of his stuff from under the loosened floorboard, put it in his trunk, grab the cage, and he starts dashing out of the house. And he's like, look, I gotta run away. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm gonna get expelled. I might be a criminal. Like, I have to get out of here, so... You know, the administrator doesn't find me.
So this is what happens. I'm not going to read all of it. So he is dashing downstairs and Uncle Vernon bursts out of the dining room with his trouser leg in bloody tatters because Ripper was trying to hold on to his leg.
Yep.
I think it's awesome. Come back in here, he bellowed. Come back and put her right. But a reckless rage had come over Harry. He kicked his trunk open, pulled out his wand, and pointed it at Uncle Vernon. She deserved it, Harry said, breathing very fast. She deserved what she got. You keep away from me. He fumbled behind him for the latch on the door. I'm going, Harry said. I have had enough. And in the next moment, he was out in the dark, quiet street, heaving his heavy trunk behind him, Hedwig's cage under his arm. He had had enough. He had suffered 6 days of abuse. At this woman's hands.
The thing is that, like, so, for the time in this book, the Vernons are passively abusing him. Yes. They're not bashing him over the head with their dislike.
They're like just in the other books.
Yes, they're just ignoring him, which is a form of abuse.
But it is not passive, as physically like violent.
Like I said, it's passive abuse. For the most part, it can be... brushed off.
Yes.
Fine, whatever, denying, who cares?
They're not denying him food. He's still getting stuff, even if it's just a piece of toast here. Everything is fine.
They've even allowed Hedwig to be in his room.
Yeah, grudgingly, but they have.
So, like, they're allowing him a little more room, a touch.
Yes.
Not that I'm gonna be like, oh wow, they're treating him so well, but a touch more of respect, kind of, almost, even.
Yeah.
Even though it's more of like a...
fear.
Not even a fear. It's more of a, let's keep the bird quiet because it's loud and annoying kind of thing.
And we don't want to bring attention to ourselves.
Yeah. So, that there's that. But she's actively going out of her way to attack him to the point that Vernon is trying to spare him of it. And she's like, no! I want to keep verbally abusing this child.
He's 13. Like, he's literally just barely a teenager.
He turned 13 a week ago.
He turned 13 the day she came to visit.
What? This is the best present. A verbally abusive relative who literally will not stop.
Yeah. Oh, we know what that's like. Anyway.
Oy.
So, too real. My bad. So this is what happens. At the end of this chapter, Harry is literally...
done.
...thinking... my life is over. My life is done. So, that's the end of this chapter.
Yep.
We will proceed to record the next chapter, like, almost instantaneously.
Yep.
All right.
Well, our nephew, who's almost 5, is here. Say hi.
Hi.
Doesn't he sound so cute?
He's adorable. Okay, so, yes. Like we said before, when this started, social media. And see you next episode.
Await our owl.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.